We're going to return tonight to Book of Philippians and really looking at two verses in chapter 3. We want to look at verse 17 and 19. Got quite a few markers in this Bible, hoping I can find the references I'd like to also turn to. But we're looking at verses 17 to 19, three verses, in chapter 3 of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, listen as I read, beginning with verse 17. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern that we gave you. For as I've often told you before, and now say again even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. And the real focus is Paul as our example, us as examples, and what if we're not? Those are the thoughts we'll look at. Paul as our example, us as examples, and what if we're not? And we look at verse 7, just read 17 again. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern that we gave you. Let's pray. Our great God, we thank you. We know that every word of God is inspired and profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And we know that every time we turn to your word, we find that which strengthens our soul and will help us to be more like Christ. Will you help us in this passage tonight? Would you grant us grace to understand the words that Paul has given? And would you help us to receive them to our hearts and receive them to our lives and to be what Paul is longing for us to be, what you're longing for us to be, even as you've given these words to him? We thank you for the privilege of thinking about these things tonight and for the power that your word has to accomplish its purpose in our lives. May it be the case tonight for all of us that we benefit from the word of God and are in a small measure conformed to the image of Jesus. Help us, we pray, and bless us in this hour, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. One can just meditate on the way in which Paul is an example to us in the different areas of what it is to be a Christian. You can think about, just list the areas and then say, how was Paul an example to us in his Christian walk? We might think, for instance, in his repentance. Paul had a deep repentance, not just for the individual things he'd done. Now, there were some things that just grieved him and he never totally fully shook them. We know that Paul was grieved over his willingness to see Stephen murdered. And he would have joined in had not somebody said, hey, watch my coat. And so he was there watching a person's coat, but he would have picked up stones to kill this man. And he zealously went for Christians wherever he could find them and brought them back to judgment. That was a thing that lived with him, and he said, I'm not even worthy of being called an apostle. But that wasn't the full measure of his repentance. Paul could say in Romans, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. He could recognize that everything that he brought into the world through his flesh was not good. You could say, well, Paul, there are a lot of good things about you. Look what you did. And he'd say, by the grace of God, I've done what I've done. It is God who has helped me. If there's any future, if there's any result of anything I've sought to do, it's by the grace of God, because I'm convinced that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. He was an example to us in repentance, not just for the bad things we've done, but for what we are, what our character is. When we see this is the kind of person we are, it's sad and it's humbling. And there's sometimes we wish it weren't the case. But when we're at our best spiritually, we realize, in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. And so if there's anything good that's come from my life, Glory to God for the fact that he has overruled. He's used a crooked stick to draw a straight line. God has been pleased to use me, but it's in no sense anything for me. Well, that's in repentance. That's a real repentance. And Paul says, follow my example. Well, he's a good example in terms of repentance. He's a wonderful example in faith. A man that in midst of all the things that he struggles, he looks to Jesus. He looks to Jesus and trusts in him. And he looks to God, and he believes God is in everything. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Wonderful faith, because he faced so many terrible things. The book of 2 Corinthians is such a wonderful book. It's a hard book to read sometimes because Paul is so open that you're almost embarrassed. He doesn't know how to speak to the people. He just opens his heart and pours it all out, and you hardly know how to interpret it. He's amazingly open in his talking about his failures and his suffering and the things he's gone through. And yet there is rising in it all of faith, a confidence in God, and a belief that God is in control. He's a wonderful example to us. He says, follow my example. Well, he's a very good example in being able to suffer much for Jesus and rise in faith to trust in him. But he's an example in worldview, the way he looked at the world. Important thing, crucial thing in our lives is what's been called our world and life view. How do we see the world and how do we see ourselves? And how can we think of a person that more clearly saw God in control of all things, directing all things for the purpose of his will, and recognizing all that in terms of what life is all about? What life is all about is Jesus Christ. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He saw that, and he's a wonderful example to us. There's a real Christian. What a wonderful world and life view he had. And in terms of self-sacrifice, well, he's embarrassed to tell us in 2 Corinthians about what he suffered and what he gave up. Even in Philippians, he talks about the fact that all the things that he had, he counts as loss for the sake of Christ. And he rejects it all. He's lost everything. All the distinctions he had, all the wonderful things that made him feel proud of himself, they're all gone. They're completely gone. And he's rejected them all that he might have Christ. Now, that's a wonderful example of self-sacrifice. You and I have a time giving up everything. We have our pride. Yeah. That's our problem. I guess I got my pride. Yeah. Some people boast that way, you know. At least I got my pride. And Paul surrendered his pride and gave it all up. Wonderful picture of self-sacrifice. He says, follow my example. Well, he's a pretty wonderful example of self-sacrifice. And in service to God, Christians are called to serve Jesus in all that, with all their strength. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your strength. Well, Paul served and kept on serving and continued to serve. And you remember that's the expression of Paul's life. It's a life given to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he says, follow my example, well, he's a pretty good example in that. That's crucial to what a Christian is. And in service, Paul was an example of the believers. You could think of love to Jesus. Who had a greater love for Jesus Christ? Can we find someone in the Bible that more steadfastly loved and served Jesus? We know there are many. And Paul and Peter, we love Peter's line when he says to Jesus, Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you. Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? Because Peter had denied Jesus three times. And so God asked him three times, and all he could say was the end, Lord, you know my heart, you know I love you. But you don't have any question with Paul. You can see a love for Jesus Christ, an unflinching love. Well, Paul said, follow my example. Paul knew that he loved Jesus. Well, you can find Paul an example in hope. How can somebody keep hoping? Even looks in 2 Corinthians of the beginning, the first chapter is wonderful, where he recognizes that he was at a point where he despaired even of life. He thought he was done for. He didn't think he was going to make it. It was the pressures without and the pressures within. It's one thing to deal with the pressures without, but when you've got within you pressures within that crush you, both at the same time, everything outside is ready to destroy him and he doesn't even think he'll make it. He despaired even of life, he says. And yet he said that those things happened that I might trust not in myself but in Christ. There's one who, in hope, in the midst of hopelessness, impossibility, can't even survive, don't even think I'll make it, yet there was still hope because God has called me to suffer and to trust in the one that raises the dead. That's wonderful hope that Paul shows in his walk with God and general confidence in God, knowing that God is working, trusting that he's working his will for the glory of Jesus Christ, and realizing that however it turns out, it will be good. If I'm spared, and he says this in Philippians, if I'm spared, well, then it's to serve you. And if I'm taken home, it's far better. For to depart from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, these things are pictures of the Apostle Paul. That's the kind of Christianity he had. And he's not boasting when he realizes this is where God's brought him. And this is the way to live the Christian life. And Paul presents himself as the kind of person that God calls us to be. And it is in no way pride exalting himself and saying you should be, that I'm better than anybody. He's presenting himself as what a Christian ought to be. And he says this kind of person God has called us to be. And there are people in history who've taken that seriously. And you read back in church history and see the great, what we would call heroes of the faith. Even in modern times, the people that have suffered for Jesus, they're like that. You've seen them give themselves like that. And when they give themselves like that, you're amazed at what it is to be a Christian. And the thing that transforms people that, even the people that kill Christians, the things that transforms their life is they see the way they die. And they see the confidence they have in Jesus Christ. And it has a tremendous power. Paul gave them God's revelation. Paul determined to live consistently with what he believed. Paul says that to follow his example, that we are to follow his example as he follows Christ. He's a better example in some way for us than Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was perfect and he didn't sin. And base your life on that and say, okay, that's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be perfect, not sin. What good will that do you? If you say, I'm going to conquer every obstacle by supernatural power, come on. I'm going to perfectly respond to every enemy that throws himself at me, and I'm going to. Christ was perfect. Christ never sinned. Christ stood against every. Is he your example? You're going to say, this is the example I'm following with my life. Never sin. In thought, word, or deed, have nothing in your life that is negative. There's nothing in Christ that's negative. Is that your example? That's what you're going to live? That's your Christian life? I almost pity you if that's your Christian life. If you say, this is my standard. Well, but you can't do that. You're not God. You need him for forgiveness. You need him for help. You need him for strength. You need him for everything that you need to try to be as good as Paul was. But you can't be like Jesus. But you can be like Paul, because Paul was weak. Paul didn't have supernatural power in that sense. Now, he had supernatural power in the sense that you can have it, but he didn't have what Jesus had. He battled with a sinful nature. Jesus didn't battle with a sinful nature. Jesus battled. He fought every temptation. He was victorious over everything for us, but he didn't have inside a twist that made him not love God and not want to serve him and have to be dealt with. Jesus didn't have to be changed. He didn't have to be purified. He was utterly pure. We can't be like that. Can we be like one who had some terrible sins and wasn't what he should have been, fell far short, was misguided terribly and went the wrong direction and made choices that weren't right? Could we be like that? And could we perhaps see we were wrong and turn and repent and change? Jesus never repented once in his whole life. Never repented. That's going to be your example? Never repent? Well, of course Jesus didn't repent. Why would he repent? He never did anything. He felt great grief when he took our sin upon him, but Jesus didn't sin. Never repented. He didn't say, I'm sorry. You know, the sign of a good man is to Ben that can say he's sorry. Jesus didn't say he was sorry. How could he? If he said he was sorry, that would have meant that he did something wrong. But he didn't. This is the amazing thing of the incarnation and what Christ was. It's astonishing to us. But you think I'm going to be like Jesus and never say I'm sorry? It's so impossible. No, we much better example for us is Paul, who faced life like we did and blew it at times and reacted wrongly at times and was weak and failed and didn't accomplish what he set out to do. And Paul's a better example for us than Jesus in the sense of showing us how to live for Christ. With Christ is a great example. We long to be like that. We will one day be like Jesus. That's our hope, that we will one day be. Our desire is that in all that takes place in our life, we'll be molded to where we'll be more like Jesus. And we look for the time when all of this is over and we're changed in a twinkling of an eye. And we're like the one that we've wanted to be like all our lives. But as long as we struggle on this earth, it would be almost silly to say my example is Jesus. My example is Paul, much more than that. At least Paul seems to think that's extremely important because he says, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern that we gave you. And so that's the first thing that we basically look at. Paul was a sinner needing to repent, needing to discipline himself, needing to fight something within that had led him into sin. None of us can come very close to following Jesus' example, but we're able by God's grace to follow Paul's. And God will use this struggle actually to make us like the Lord Jesus Christ. We can attain unto Paul's weakness and struggle, and we can receive the grace of God to overcome. Paul says, join with others in following my example. Now that's what I've got all these papers in is because I'd just like to turn to a few places where we see that theme is repeated. The idea of following Paul's example, being like Paul. 1 Corinthians, I can just read them, or you can turn if you want, but 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Listen to what Paul says. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Paul is speaking to the Corinthians. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. He's got another passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And listen to what he says in verse 1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So he's not only presenting himself as an example, he's telling us again, twice now, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. We've got 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. At that point, Paul, you're to be an example. You be an example of the believers. That's the point that's there. And in Philippians verse 9, which we'll look at later. These themes will be repeated because Philippians chapter 9 has a wonderful reference too, but I'll look at it now. Yeah, I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Listen to the way in which Paul articulates this. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. Amazing words. I'll read it again. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. It's a wonderful conglomeration of verses which put before us that fact that Paul was conscious that he is an example and we are to be examples. He says to us, be examples of the believers. He's calling us to do that. He himself was that. And he calls us, and he's conscious of repeating to call us to be that kind of example. But even beyond that, beyond all these things, everyone else expects us to be that. You want to claim to be a Christian? We expect you to be one. How many kids reject Christianity because they're dealing with hypocrites in the church? Now, you know that you don't reject Christ because of hypocrites in the church. That's ridiculous. You can't do anything about that, and the point is you're to be one that loves Jesus. But that's what they expect you to do. Don't people expect you to practice what you preach? And would you say there's anything wrong with that? Practice what you preach? Shouldn't somebody be able to say that to you? I mean, Paul says we should be example of the believers. Well, everybody thinks you should be an example of the believers. If you say you're a Christian, then be a Christian. And you put yourself under a microscope, and people evaluate you on the basis of whether you're a Christian. You're judged if you're a hypocrite. You're told to practice what you preach. You do really badly, they'll write you up in the newspaper, and they'll mention you're a Christian. And that's how many times you see that somebody's in problems, and they'll say former pastor or something like that. If they can put that in, they're going to do it to emphasize hypocrisy and the whole idea and to be against God. If they could say anything about you being a Christian and you do something bad, they'll mention it if they can, because that's the desire of the world. Make Christians look bad. Well, they expect you to practice what you preach and hold you sometimes to an impossible goal. But they'll speak about you if they can, negatively. They'll gossip about you if you fall. Well, that's what happens, because people expect you to be an example of the believers. That's why some people hold off. I think some kids do struggle with this in school. They hold off taking a stand. And here the devil is working in them to that effect. But they hold out a stand because they're warned that they won't be able to be totally consistent, and they realize their own weakness, and so they don't take a stand for Jesus. And the thing is, you can take a stand for Jesus, and then you can be an example of how a Christian deals with his failure. You ought to take a stand as a Christian. You ought to say you're that, realizing there may come times when you are inconsistent with what you ought to be. But that's an occasion to show people, what do you do when you're a Christian and you do something inconsistent? And how do you repent, and how do you deal with what's wrong in your life? It's right to be told to practice what you preach, but even when you fail, you can be an example of the believers, because you can show how does a believer deal with this kind of failure, and how do they repair, and how do they put back together their life that they've thrown away? How do they do that? Well, you're an example, and you're expected to be an example, and people expect you to be an example, except that if they hate Christ, they'll hope you be one who professed Christ and then rejected it all. That's what they'd like to see. But even when we fail. And so kids that feel hesitant to take a stand because they don't feel strong to stand. Well, Paul wasn't strong to stand. And Paul came to deep repentance for things he did and for things he was, as he saw more clearly that in him that was in his flesh dwelt no good thing. Now, they're called to be a believer. We ought to be a believer. I mean, we ought to be an example. There's something right about being an example of the believers. You know you'll be judged for it, but you ought to take a stand. And we know we ought to take a stand. Well, those were markers for some of the verses that say that's what we should do. If God says we should do that, we ought to do that. We should take a stand, and we should commit ourselves, and we should determine, I'm going to live as a Christian. And if I fall short, I'm going to fall short as a Christian and deal with it as a Christian. And what if we don't? That's the last division of our thought. What if we don't do that? Well, if we don't do that, we're still examples. You can't not be an example. You're an example of a person that, with all your advantages, you wouldn't live for Christ. Or you're a person with all your struggles, you never look to Jesus. Everybody's an example. Pray for the people that we mentioned that were on Marge's heart. They're examples. Every opportunity to hear and to know didn't come. It's an example. You're always an example. We're all examples. You're either an example of somebody that does follow God or an example of someone that doesn't follow God. You're going to be an example anyway. And it's well to be an example who has taken a stand and said, I'm a Christian. And my desire is to be a Christian for the glory of God. You're an example anyway. Don't you say, well, I'm not going to be an example. I'm just going to live my life. Well, then you're an example of a person who, having your advantages, determined to live for yourself. That's what the example you are. If you take a stand for Jesus and fail miserably, you're an example of somebody who's very weak but looks to Jesus. We're all examples. Everybody's an example of what a human being is. And you're either an example that follows God or an example that doesn't follow God. And Jesus says there's two places where this is repeated. Well, that's the other references I've got. Yes. Luke, listen to Luke 11:23. It says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And back in Matthew, you've got Matthew 12:33. 12:30, I'm sorry. Let's see if I can find it. 12:30, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. What does that mean? He said it twice. I mean, I don't know how many times he said it. The things we have in Bible, if they're repeated twice, it's not that Jesus just said them twice. They're things that Jesus, he's a traveling preacher. He repeats his things. You can't bring him up on the internet and hear a sermon. They were said once, and then they were said again. And as he spoke again. So things that were there, if they're repeated twice in the Bible, it doesn't mean that he only said it twice. It meant that it's recorded twice. But it was a part of his ministry. And he said, he that gathers, either you gather with me or you scatter. What does that mean? It means either you draw people to Christ by your life or you drive them away. You either gather people to Christ by your life or you drive them away from Christ by your life. You're still an example. Either you gather with him or you scatter. So there really isn't a matter of not being... You can say, well, what if I'm not going to be an example? You can't not be an example. And so God calls us to commit ourselves to be an example. Maybe you're somebody who has told people before, don't do what I do, do what I say. Shame on you. Know what that's saying? I know where I'm wrong and I won't change. What an awful thing to say that. Don't do what I do what I say. I know where I'm wrong, and I won't change. That's a dreadful thing to say. And there are people who say that and think somehow they're being humble. That is not being humble. You know where you're wrong, and you won't change. You're an example of a believer. I don't even know if I can say that's an example of a believer. There's where the hard thing comes. Can you say that's an example of a believer that says that? Don't do what I do what I say. Is that a believer? I know we take that lightly when somebody says that and we're willing to let them say they're being humble. But when you think really about it, it comes down to, is that a Christian at all that could say that? To say that I know where I'm wrong and I will not change. That's a tough area to look at. But it's all part of the study that we're looking at tonight, where we're called upon that we're the ones Paul's talking about when he says, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we give you. Well, the fact that it is such a terrible thing and so sad when somebody will go so far as to say, don't do what I do what I say, that Paul speaks to that kind of mentality when he says in the verses 18 and 19, for as I've told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. That's where that connects with what goes before. If there's somebody that's in such a state, Paul says what those people are like. That's why I don't know what to do to say a Christian says that. He hasn't thought very much about what he's saying. I don't know what to say about that. Paul says, when he sees that kind of attitude, because he says many who live as enemies, apparently these are people that are some way professing to be part of the church, because obviously when the unbeliever does these things, it makes you sad, but this isn't the thing that breaks your heart. When an unbeliever does wicked things, unbelievers are wicked, and they don't have a heart to serve God. But what if they're saying they've got a heart to serve God? What if they're saying they are a Christian, and they do those things? How do you feel about that? Well, Paul tells us how he feels about it. He says, "For as I often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things." Pretty sobering words for Paul to say. And it comes out of a heart that has said, "Follow my example." Is it easy to follow Paul's example? It's much easier than it seems. It's a matter of minding the Lord. God will show us where we're wrong. We need to repent. God will tell us what we ought to be doing. We need to do it. God will tell us what we shouldn't do. We need to stop doing it. It's not like it's so terrible to know what to do. God will show you. Although it's a dangerous prayer when you pray, "Lord, show me the things that are wrong in my life." That's a dangerous prayer. I remember a fellow, I could say his name right now, but I'm not going to say it because it would be nice to say it. But he talked about sometime he prayed, "Lord, show me my sin." And he said, "I'll never pray that again." I don't know where that guy stands today. I have very little contact with him. He's from another state and everything, and I haven't had contact, and I've heard terrible things about him, and I don't track it down whether it's true or not. But he said that he'd ask God to show him his sin. He never asked that again. God began to show him. We're a mess. We need God's help. And the thing to do is to come and say, "Lord, show me. Search me, know my heart. See me. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The way everlasting is forgiveness and cleansing in Jesus Christ. We can say, "Lord, show me my heart. Show me if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Well, those are wonderful encouragements from a passage that's quite penetrating. Quite penetrating when it looks at this. Is this something we can look at easily and say, "Oh, that's no big deal"? You can. You're an example of Jesus. You're an example of Paul trying to show a life like Jesus. One day you'll be an example of Jesus. That's amazing, too, that one day you, your personality, will perfectly reflect Christ. And you don't die and become just a little point of light. You die and become you like Christ. It's wonderful. You'll still be you. The Eastern people have an idea that the end of eternity is you're like a drop of water coming into the ocean and becoming part of the great being. You do not become a drop of water dropping into the ocean of being. You are you for all eternity. But you'll be you who are like Jesus for all eternity. What a wonderful thing that is. We're not going to achieve that this upon this earth, but we could achieve something close to Paul. And Paul's given us enough in the Bible to pursue that, and he's given us wonderful encouragement again and again. Follow him as he followed Christ. May God enable us to do that, to forgive us our sins and cleanse us and make us bold to follow Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these things that you've shown in your word. And Lord, they are penetrating. And we do have a tendency to want to excuse our failures and tell other people to do what we say and not what we do. Shame on us, Lord. May we feel the shame. That is not right. Oh Lord, help us that we will want to be like Christ, want to be like Paul, want to be that kind of Christian. And help us, Lord, that we'll more and more every day be that kind of Christian. There is a day, a wonderful hope you've given to us, Lord, that one day we'll be ourselves and perfectly like Christ. And Lord, that's a wonderful hope that you hold out to us. We look to that and we ask you to help us. We look to you now and thank you for these searching and penetrating words. And we pray that they will work in our hearts to conform us more and more to the image of our Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.